Vacation Bible School kicks off tomorrow, and all this week, as you can see, an army of volunteers has spent hour after hour decorating and planning and getting everything ready for when the kids arrive tomorrow night. And the theme for this year's VBS is Shipwrecked, and through the week we're going to explore the different ways that we can get lost and how Jesus rescues us. We're going to look at the story of the lost son, the prodigal son, the story of the criminal who was forgiven by Jesus at the crucifixion, and the story of the disciples who were lost at sea, which is our reading for today. I will ask that through the week that you keep all of us in your prayers, prayers of thanksgiving for the adults who have brought all of this together, prayers for the children that this VBS will be meaningful and fun, and prayers that everyone stays safe and that all goes as planned or close to it. Our scripture reading for today is the familiar story of Jesus calming the storm. Jesus has been preaching and teaching to a large crowd on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. Late in the afternoon, Jesus says to those who are with him, "Let us go across to the other side." They leave the crowd on the shore and climb into a boat. Jesus' boat is not the only one. Others join with them, and they begin sailing across the lake toward the opposite shore. During the night, however, as they traveled, a storm appears, and crashing waves threaten to sink that boat. Despite the chaos of the storm, Jesus is asleep at the back of the boat, lying on a cushion. And those who are in the boat, they go to him and they shake him awake, saying, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And this is a part of the story that I have the most difficulty comprehending. Most of those that Jesus called to be his disciples were, they were what? Fishermen, yeah. And that would make them experienced sailors. I myself grew up on the Gulf Coast and have spent large part of my life on boats. My family has always had at least one boat. You have to have two to make sure that one's running at any particular time. And together, we've logged hundreds, if not thousands of hours out on the water. And weather is a crucial part of boating. You constantly have to be mindful of the weather and keep an eye on the horizon for any storms that may pop up. The western side of the Sea of Galilee is lined with hills. And behind these hills lies the Mediterranean Ocean. And it is entirely possible for a storm to develop over the Mediterranean and then, without warning, to blow across the hills onto the Sea of Galilee. I imagine that is what happened that night that Jesus and his disciples were crossing the lake. But still, why were the disciples so afraid? Why did they wake Jesus saying, "Do you not care that we are perishing?" I remember when I was a kid, maybe 8 years old, and this family was visiting us, and we were all out on the boat when an afternoon thunderstorm popped up and started heading toward us. Not a big deal. We turned the boat and we headed for home. The storm continued in our direction a little faster than normal, and we could see the curtain of rain coming across the water in the distance. We could also see occasional flashes of lightning up in the cloud. Again, not a big deal. We would beat this storm home. But this family had a boy who was about a year younger than me, and he became hysterical. The storm terrified him. He was crying and wailing and clinging to his mother and yelling that the storm was going to get us. I'd never seen anything like this. Later, his mother explained to me that they were from Oklahoma, where storms could be dangerous, and her son was afraid to be outside and exposed like that. Back on the Sea of Galilee, that must have been an exceptional storm for the fishermen to get as rattled as they were, having a few times been caught in an exceptionally bad storm. I can tell you that it can be unnerving. Your whole world, your boat, is moving every which way. All you can do is fight for control. When the disciples go to Jesus saying, "Do you not care that we are perishing?" I don't think they were seeking supernatural intervention. Instead, no, this was a all hands on deck moment. Grab a paddle and row to keep the bow headed into the waves. Hold the sail down. Grab a bucket and start bailing. Don't just lie there. We've got to save ourselves. It's going to take every one of us to get through this. So Jesus wakes up, but he doesn't grab a bucket. He doesn't start rowing. Instead, he tackles the heart of the problem. He scolds the wind. And to the sea, he says, "Peace, be still." And immediately, the wind dies down and the sea goes calm. Previously, Mark had described this particular storm as being a great storm. He used the Greek word mega. It's a mega storm. The calm is described in the same way. It is a mega calm. In a matter of moments, we've gone from a great storm to a great calm, all because of a few words from Jesus. Jesus then turns to the disciples in the boat and asks, "Why is your faith timid? Have you still no faith?" One translator puts it this way. I really like this. They were afeared, a great fear. Among themselves, they were wondering, "Who is this that even the wind and the sea listen to him?" As I've studied this reading this week, I've decided that the pivotal point of the story is that question that the disciples put to Jesus. "Do you not care that we are perishing?" In front of that question, there's only wind and storm. But following the question is peace. And that question, it makes me chuckle. I mean, who are they to ask if Jesus cares? Haven't they read the book? Of course Jesus cares. We know Jesus cares. Jesus' entire ministry is about caring and compassion and love and forgiveness. Jesus befriends the lonely, heals the broken, guides the lost, comforts the sorrowful. We'll read a little later in Mark's gospel about how Jesus saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. It is ludicrous to ask if Jesus cares. We who gather here to worship call ourselves Christians, followers of Jesus the Christ. And as Christians, we are to lead our lives in obedience to Jesus' teachings and commands. We are to love God and love our neighbor. We are to preach the gospel to the world. We are to repent. We are to love and pray for our enemies. We are not to judge. A good summary of the Christian life is found in the letter of 1 Peter, which says, "All of you, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers and sisters. Be compassionate and humble." I could go on and on listing all the expectations that Scripture places on us, the followers of Jesus, but you already know them. Over the past 2 weeks, the news in our nation has focused on the topic of the separation of immigrant children from their parents. In the past, those immigrants caught entering this country illegally were charged with a misdemeanor and sent back or placed into the immigration pipeline, most of them seeking asylum. In April, the administration imposed what they call a zero tolerance policy, meaning that anyone caught entering the U.S. illegally would be prosecuted for committing a federal offense. According to the Attorney General Jeff Sessions, the administration wants, quote, to get this message out in order to deter people from coming to the U.S. and requesting asylum. The White House Chief of Staff, John Kelly, has remarked that this is working, that the family separation is indeed a tough deterrent, and word is getting out. However, I do want to point out that simply seeking asylum in the U.S. is not illegal. The side effect of this zero-tolerance policy is that now, when an adult is apprehended, any minors that are with them are taken away and placed into the hands of the Department of Health and Human Services, while the adult is taken and placed into custody. In the past, before April, most families who were arrested after crossing the border were quickly released for civil deportation hearings. On Wednesday of this week, the president issued an executive order ending the administration's policy of separating families. However, since April, as you've heard, approximately 2,300 children under the age of 18 have been separated from their parents. They have been placed in various locations all around the country. It's not clear if or when the president's executive order will reunite these children with their families. I am well aware that politically this is an incendiary issue with powerful emotions on each side. But I want to ask you to set the politics aside and to look at this from a purely Christian perspective. How is it that we love our neighbor, for example? In that story of Jesus calming the storm, Jesus tells his followers to get in the boat so they can go across to the other side. The other side was a different land, a different country, a different people. And halfway through their journey to that other land, all becomes chaos. But because Jesus is there, peace is restored, and the boat continues on its way. As Christians, the question we have to ask ourselves is, how do we treat those who are on the boat, who are lost at sea, who are caught between lands, who are tossed about by chaos and fear? Do we remain asleep on a cushion? Or do we show that we care and speak out to bring peace and calm to fractured lives? The issues surrounding immigration are extraordinarily complex. There is no simple solution. It will take all of us to work it out because we are all in this boat together. As Christians, the question is, will we seek a solution through power or through compassion? Amen.